Thank you so much for coming.
Yes, sir.
We're on.
Yes, sir.
Listen, so I also, before we get started into what we're talking about, we met at Tri-C, right?
Yeah.
It was messing with me for the longest. I was like, where do I know this dude from? It's not just from church. I met him at Tri-C. Were you in school for?
Yeah, so at that time, I was in school for music.
That's right. We were both in school. Yeah, I was in MIDI technology.
That's right. That's right.
Great.
Yep.
Dope.
Yep.
That's what's up.
Yes, sir.
Well, thanks for coming on, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks for coming on, man.
That was years ago. Oh, man. I think that was over 10
years. That was about 11 years ago.
10, 11 years.
Getting up there, brother.
Yeah,
getting up there.
Yes, sir.
Hey, and in this day and age, it's good to see you're still here.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Likewise.
Here today, gone today.
Likewise.
You know what I'm saying?
Likewise.
So with that being said, man, go ahead and introduce yourself, because I'm gonna mess something up.
Right.
Introduce yourself, man. It's a privilege to have you here. I was so excited when they told me exactly what you were doing, and then I was like, I know him. Yeah, no, that's great. Let's do it. So introduce yourself. Go ahead and you know, talk about it.
Well, my name is Marquez Johnson. I am the president of a nonprofit organization entitled Mind Your Business. The acronym is MYB. That's what we go by, MYB. I have a huge, huge passion for mental health. In fact, I've been in the field for the past 9 years. I started with a private company by the name of Windsor Lorwood Hospital. My mom was in mental health. She worked in that field for years. She would come home and tell, you know, multiple stories about her experiences, and I would just really be inclined to listen to her experiences at work. And it was just a wonderful thing just to hear the different, you know, ways of life that she just saw and that she experienced. And so I became an STNA in high school.
I could never do it.
Man, listen,
props to you, bro.
It's an experience.
Props to you.
I became an STNA and I was working in nursing homes and all that. And then my mom said, well, why don't you just, you know, try your chances in the mental health field? So I called. She got me into that particular job. And when I got in, man, I just saw a wide range of individuals. It was just like a totally different world. And it allowed me to see things differently. And it really, really, you know, just engrafted me. And so I just grew a deep passion for it. And I stuck with it, man.
Yeah.
I stuck with it. I got trainings. I went to different classes just to learn more about psychology. I read multiple books. Became a fan of Carl Jung.
Okay.
Became fans of Sigmund Freud. A lot of his philosophies, and some things I agree with, some things I don't.
Actually, I think that's everybody.
Yeah,
but
sure.
One of the things about educating yourself is, especially with us, you see something you don't agree with, and that overtakes everything that you did agree with.
Sure.
It's like, okay, well, I don't agree with that, so I'm just going to just get away from it. I'm not going to be bothered with it. And you're missing so many proper nuggets.
Sure.
Because at the end of the day, the book never said he knew everything.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
It's one of those. So that's dope. Do you I was talking to somebody and she was telling me, you know, about mental health. And before I get into that, I was looking on your Facebook page and I saw you said something about works at Mind Your Business. I was like, oh, that's one of those things where they'd be like, mind your business, bro. You don't need to know where I'm at, you know. But then scrolling, I was like, oh, wait, no, this is a whole foundation. And am I saying it right? Is it mind, as in the mind?
Yes.
Is your business?
Your business, yes.
That's what's up.
Yes.
That's what's up.
I think it's, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I think it's imperative that everything that exists within humanity, starts with the mind.
Absolutely.
And if we can have control of our minds, if we can have the things that go on within, on the inside.
Absolutely.
If we can really channel those things, then I believe that we really get a good grip of life, and we don't know everything, and we can't control everything. But if we can have a concept of things that go on in our minds, then we can get a good grip in life.
That's my pops was saying, one of the ways to deal with the stigmatism that is in the Black community is to understand that the mind is really a part of your body.
Sure.
Same thing as if you got a foot problem, you go deal with your feet, sure, with the whoever he is. And then the same thing, yeah, with your skin. I mean, you got dermatologists, heart, you have a, you know, brain, you have a neurologist, you, sure, have all these things where, you know, you'll go to the proper, you know, people to deal with that certain thing. But sometimes with people, because it's not just the Black community, it's, sure, white communities, sure, other communities, when it comes to the concept of mental health, it's something we don't want to deal with.
Sure.
Why is that?
Well, I believe that it, a lot of times what hones in for us as individuals is those things that we have repressed and suppressed for a long period of time.
Mm.
And when we say we come into contact with ourselves is when we go on the inside.
Yeah.
And for those individuals that are spiritual, like, you know, myself and yourself, when we go on the inside, when we meet ourselves and we meet those things that we have repressed and suppressed, those emotions that we never dealt with, we see ourselves for who we really are. And it is at that point that we meet God,
mm,
is when we see ourselves for who we really are.
Mm.
Because God wants to show, you know, according to Romans 12 and 2, that's how we're to be transformed.
By the renewal of a mind.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And so to go in the mind is to go to those things that happened to us when we were younger.
Right.
Those environments that we were exposed to, right, those situations that engrafted us, things that made us feel guilty about what happened to us. And so it's like, what has happened throughout time,
mm-hmm,
that we ignored because people told us, well, just pray about it. Or people told us, don't worry, everything is just give it over to God and it's done.
Mm-hmm.
But we never dealt with it. And so when people tell us, okay, now you should probably go to a therapist, it freaks us out.
Right.
Because they didn't tell us that when we were growing up. We weren't shown that it was okay to sit down and talk about your problems.
Yeah.
Therapeutically.
Yeah.
As well as live a spiritual life and believe that God is going to heal me at, mm-hmm, the same time. But I have to be able to release. And I think that it scares us as individuals that when we hear that, I don't know if I want to do that because it's foreign to us. But I believe that God has given us a wonderful opportunity to just break that stigmatism.
Right.
Because particularly in this time, especially dealing with everything that we've been confronted with in this time,
yeah,
God has given us the ability to flip the script and to sort of introduce those things to the Black community, to break the stigmatism, to introduce it to the African-American, predominantly African-American church. Because it is very imperative that we deal constructively with all those issues that we have dealt with for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Haven't told anyone.
What about even dealing with the concepts of PTSD?
Sure.
As it pertains to what we dealt with as kids.
Sure.
What about like autism and things that, you know, when you're having a kid, one of my favorite pastors, Pastor Mike Todd, talks about, mm-hmm, him and his wife dealing with the knowledge and knowing that their child, not at the age of birth, you know, they didn't find out till he was about four, something, okay, like that, sure, later on.
Sure.
Which is something else I want to hit on.
Okay.
That he would have autism.
Mm-hmm.
When we're finding these things out, it's the confusion.
Sure.
In a time where it's so prevalent, why do we still continue to neglect and leave such an open space for it to manifest,
sure,
instead of attacking it so that we can get a hold on this?
Sure. Well, I think with our own, a lot of times what happens is we have our own, what I call idiosyncratic situations. And so what
explain that because I can't spell it.
So it is our own individual situations, mm-hmm, that sometime block us from really I would say, heading things off.
Yeah.
And so all of us have our own idiosyncratic situations. And so what that is that's my own experience. That's mm-hmm. my own personal thing that has happened.
Yeah.
And sometimes what happens is we block what could be next because of our own situations that has happened. We block what we can or we stop what we can head on because our own situations are really just engrafting us. And so when we deal with the next generation or when we look at with the next generation or we look at someone that could be dealing with something, like you said, you know, they found out at the age of 4 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and so you think, well, could they have saw this at an earlier time?
Mm-hmm.
Could they have saw? We don't necessarily know because sometimes certain things trigger certain things within individuals. And so, you know, I'm not really big on the deep things, but I mean, if we want to really allude to generational curses, I'm not really big on that as well. But how that happens or how it starts it goes to what you alluded to, not attacking things within your own self. And so a lot of times what happens is throughout time, I let things just pile up.
Yeah.
And so what that allows is that next generation to grab hold to it.
Yeah.
And what that is and what we say in psychology or the term that is used in some philosophies is the unconsciousness. And so what happens is our unconsciousness is some things that we don't even know that is building up within someone else because of things that I've repressed. And so what we have to be careful, and I tell my wife this, we have to deal with things that what has happened to us. Because if we don't, we're going to exhibit certain behaviors that is going to trigger our children in certain ways. And what we dealt with, they're going to deal with it on a worse level because it's building up. And not to say that pastor, you know, had, you know, some, you know, bad things or anything mm-hmm. like that. But certain behaviors, certain things trigger things in individuals chemically.
Right.
Chemically, things that, you know, sometimes, you know, we may not have control over, but it triggers certain things. So we have to make sure that we get therapy. We have to make sure that we treat ourselves with the most utmost respect, get therapy, deal with ourselves. So that way we're able to see things quicker than, you know, when they exhibit.
When we're talking about treatment, one of the scarce things that I think we deal with is prescription medication.
Sure.
And when I say scarce, I mean the side effects.
Sure.
Sometimes the side effects are worse.
Yeah.
So in that case, if I'm taking my child, you know, to be examined.
Sure.
Or even this, to go back to the age thing, you know, there are many questions that can be answered when we find out a kid is, you know, in the womb and they're developing this and your kid could be born with this. But what about when they're not and you're 15, 16 years old and you come up with some sense of autism, Asperger's, these things that we never prepared for.
Sure.
And so now you have to take, you know, prescribed medicine.
Sure.
And, you know, you could take it and the side effects are worse. How do you deal with that? I don't want to say cope because to me that seems you're trying to get by it. How sure. how are we dealing with, especially in the inner cities?
Sure.
That's any inner city.
Sure.
How are we supposed to deal with that?
Well, you know, it a lot of times, you know, the some of my clients and patients that come in, that is their biggest claim.
Mm-hmm.
These side effects
are horrible.
And I've seen it. I've seen it face on, you know. I've seen where the side effects are worse than the actual behavior.
Yeah.
You know, and so then that is one of the reasons why I just believe that Well, it was one of the things that really sparked the drive in me to really introduce mental health to the spiritual realm. Because what happens is, and this is just a sidebar, what happens is a lot of times people, they go to church to deal with their mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And rightly so, because we believe God, he does everything and he does all things well.
Mm-hmm.
We also serve a wise God.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times, and I've seen within the parameters of my career, a lot of the people that I've been in church with
mm-hmm.
become my patients or come really? Into the facility. And of course, I have to withdraw myself because of, you know, the conflict of interest there. Wow. But yeah. I've seen it, and I've seen it early on in my career. And that is really what drove me to really dig deep into why is this a thing? Why are church people coming into the mental health facility? And so, and then I get to see some of their behaviors, and I get to see the difference in how they were before they got on medication versus how they were when they got on medication. And so I definitely promote that if you don't have any constructive manners to ways to deal with what you're going through, that if you have to take the medication, take the medication. Mm-hmm. I would never not tell anyone to take their medication. That is
not to take
it. Yeah, I would never tell anyone not to take it.
Right.
That's against my my practice. But mm-hmm. I do promote dealing constructively, right. where if you don't want to take the medication, we can get you to that point. And I believe, and this isn't my own personal belief, that I serve a God that is so excellent
mm-hmm.
that he gives us the ability to go on the inside and deal with those things
mm-hmm.
that has brought us to that point.
Right.
And so if we can go inside and we can face, there's this thing called psychoanalysis. And so this is what Sigmund Freud sort of introduced, and I hope I'm still on topic here. This is one of the things that Sigmund Freud introduced on the side of taking medication.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he said was, if we can recreate the moment
mm-hmm. mm.
that you repressed and suppressed and allow you to deal with those emotions, that could work as your medication. Because now I've given myself an outlet to deal with those things, and those things come out. All of those emotions
change the way you see it in the day you're in.
Yes.
From when the day it happened.
Sure.
Interesting.
Yes. Yes. And so when we talk about, you know, medication, and we talk about, you know, some of those, a lot of people they don't. I feel bad for some of the people. Oh man, they sleeping more than they were before. they droopy. I wouldn't say a melancholy state, but they just feel, it just look like they just sad all yeah. the time. I mean, it's just, you're in inertia. I mean, you just don't move. I mean, you just, and they're like, I did this to escape this, but I dug a deeper hole for myself.
Man.
And so that is that is how some of the people related. Like, I was escaping what was driving me crazy,
mm-hmm.
only to drive myself into a deeper hole. Isn't that crazy?
You know, I'm dealing and kind of still dealing with something that's going on in my life. And my pops,
sure,
he told me, if you make this decision now, nothing good will come about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bothered me for a while. I was like, why would you tell me that? You sure. know what I'm saying? Like, and then the other part of me wanted to be like, okay, it's another failure. You know, I've sure. dealt with failure. I'll sure. figure it out. But then I was going to counseling, and okay. I fully promote going to counseling. Sure. I love the book by Charlamagne the God, Anxiety.
Yes.
My mind is playing tricks on me. It's
okay.
an excellent book.
Okay.
And it's dealing with the trauma that he dealt with as a kid.
Sure.
And as a black man who we're taught, you know, you don't need to go to counseling. How do you feel? Why would you tell somebody else about your issues?
Sure.
And then there's a flip side to that. And I talked to a very good friend of mine about that. But going back to my pops, and I'm going to counseling. I'm telling him about the decision. And the guy says, or my counselor, who's a man, he says, who he also knows my pops.
Sure.
So he knows my pop's heart. And I think he knows it in a way that I expect to know it, but I didn't at the time because of my mental stability at the time. And he says, it's not to say that your decision is bad. It's a good decision in the wrong time can be detrimental.
Sure.
So even though it's the right decision, if it's made at the wrong time, it will not produce fruit.
Sure.
So when I think about it like that, it's like, wow. Even though you had great intentions,
sure.
Even though you know, this is what you planned for.
Yes.
It could still produce a concept of many losses.
Sure.
Much hurt that didn't need to be had.
Sure.
And so when I think about that, I think about the decision.
Yes.
And the time it's made.
Yes.
I, like a lot of people, have made very emotional,
sure.
Very impulsive
sure.
decisions that have put much burden yeah. on myself.
Yeah.
And there's a song by Jonathan McReynolds, it's called People.
Yes.
And it's dealing with the concept of how many people hurt you,
yes.
but how many people have you hurt? And then there's an after song where it talks about understanding exactly where you were at
sure.
and how it affected you.
Yes.
So it's to go back to that time where you made that decision
yes.
to really understand everything that's happened since that.
Yes.
You can't deal with the hurt that came after it. You got to deal with the place you're in when you made the decision.
Sure. sure.
What place were you in?
Yes.
For me, that's now, I mean, even, you know, just the conversation I had and even having this conversation, which I'm literally thinking about decisions I've made.
Yes.
In horrible places.
Yes.
And I think for a lot of us, we look at how much we don't have going on. Yes. So we're just going to make a decision.
Yes.
And this is going to get us out.
Yeah.
But you still haven't dealt with the difference of quitting and finishing.
Yes.
You know, yes. you're quitting something to get out of a situation
absolutely.
Instead of trying to finish.
Yes.
And literally give everything you have before. So you can leave empty.
Yes.
When yes. you go into something else with a whole bunch of burdens.
Yes.
And so that's dope from the concept of personal.
Yes.
What about when it affects us? And I really want to hit kids.
Yes.
We're living in a time where mental health didn't just get here.
Right.
It's more prevalent.
Sure.
Especially with these school shootings.
Yes.
And I mean, just shootings outside of school shootings.
Yes.
Suicidal shootings.
Yes.
It's huge. People are very upset with themselves yes. over something. I don't think that they had anything that they didn't choose mental health.
Sure.
How are we dealing with that?
Yes. Well, you know, I believe that we have to really monitor what our children take in.
Yeah.
I mean,
don't listen to the WAP, kids.
Don't listen to the WAP. My wife was very upset with that song.
Why was she upset? No, her. And I can get it from I don't want my kids listening to this.
Yeah.
That's probably a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, yeah. We'll deal with that later. But my wife always says, listen, the media controls everything. And so I looked at that. And I could give credence to that because it is with intention or without, it is what we take into our eyes.
Mm.
It really impermeates our psyche.
Mm.
And without anything, I would say really monitor how much we put in front of our children. I mean, we have advancement in technology. I mean, our thing when we were kids was the PS1 or Sega Genesis.
Nintendo 64.
Nintendo 64.
Super Smash Bros. I will still give anybody that work right now. I will still give you that work.
Facts.
With Pikachu,
facts.
Over with.
Facts. I mean, we had Game Boys and thought we was the thing.
Man, yes.
You know, so, and now we're just, everyone has a phone.
Everybody's influenced.
Influenced. Highly.
We live a life through YouTube.
Yes. Yes.
We didn't have that.
No, we didn't. And if we did, oh my
God. Not at the age where it made sense.
Right, right.
Because we're same age. Yes. 14, 15. It started to make itself available. But by that time, you had a reverence for your parents.
You better believe it.
You wasn't coming in seeing it. You know what I'm saying? Right. But these kids are, my daughter is 5 now.
Yes.
At the age of 4. You know, I caught, this is not to put my daughter's business, but it's to talk about watch what your kids are watching, because my daughter was exposed to lesbianism.
Okay.
Just by a click.
Yeah.
It's not something she was looking for.
Sure.
You know, watching kids stuff.
Yes.
And I caught it and I was like, you know, it hit me hard.
Yes.
Because the father, I mean, wanted to be like, why are you watching that? Yes. But then the other part was like, it's not necessarily her fault.
Sure.
She's being a kid.
Sure.
She's just clicking.
Sure.
And you're a click away from a total mental change.
Yes. Yes.
As these kids are.
Yes.
And that's something we didn't grow up with.
Yes.
It's just, you know, it's not to say it didn't exist.
Sure.
As prevalent as it is now. Yes. That's why I want the kids.
Sure.
How, you know, where are we going?
Yes. I got alluded to it. We really have to monitor what they see, because they're really being influenced. I would say 65% of the way our children are being raised is out of our presence.
Yes.
Because they're seeing and they have the ability to tap into anything.
Mm-hmm.
And things that we didn't tap into until we got in the double digit ages, they're tapping into in the single digit ages. And they're seeing these things. And although they may not understand it or be able to grasp it intellectually or really what I would say, they can't really explain it. You know, they can't articulate it, but it's being introduced in their psyche.
Yeah.
And so what happens with children, and on this, and this, I'm going to go to the psychological here. What happens with children is at a certain ages, it is their development stages.
Mm.
At their development stages, certain things are introduced.
Yeah.
At certain stages. And so what happens is, although they cannot explain it intellectually, it is impermeating them. And so what happens is children, they live in a fantastic world, and that's a world of fantasy.
Hmm.
And so if sometimes things impermeate.
For feeling every day.
Yeah.
Every day I'm good.
Right. Sometimes if a child's fantasy world is interrupted or corrupted by something that is not supposed to be fantasized about, then it impermeates them. And at some time, they could revert back to what has impermeated or what has corrupted their fantasy world. Kids live there all the time. That's why Disney is such a wonder, because it expresses their world of fantasy. When I was a kid, I was able to go outside. We had outside. We didn't have no
kids
computer.
These days don't know what a basketball hoop looks like outside of TV. You know, a skateboard. I got a picture with a bump on my head right now from trying to get on a skateboard. I knew I wasn't supposed to be on that skateboard. But these, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. If it's not on the iPad, if it's not on the computer, if it's not on the phone,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And there's a part of me that want to be like, I can't stand it. And then I look at myself, fool, you be on the phone all the time.
All the time.
Too.
My wife gets on me. My wife be like, man, I just want to take that phone and just throw it sometime. You're just in it. Whether I'm just reading or whether I'm doing a project or something. It's just my phone.
Because I promise you, there are times when somebody be like, can you get off your phone? I'd be like, I'm over here looking at research. And I'm scrolling. I ain't doing nothing. Okay. I would like to make it seem like I'm that busy, and I'm not. Okay. Yeah, man. And the development concept is they don't know how to come out of it, and yes, we don't know how to get rid of it.
Sure.
Effectively.
Sure.
Because like you said, 65, and I think that's a great number, 65% of how these kids are being tutored and trained and educated is outside of our presence, because we still got to go to work. We still got to make sure these kids are good.
Absolutely.
And the majority of us aren't figuring out a full entire lifestyle off of teaching our kids.
Yes.
Shouts out to the people who are.
Yes.
But for other, for the most majority of us, we got to go to work. We got to do this. We got to live outside of our kids.
Yes.
And with that being said, you're allowing yourself to be okay with, my kid is going to be exposed to something that I don't teach here.
Yes. Yes.
That's scary.
Yes.
For me.
Yes.
I don't know about anybody else, but for me, yes. when my daughter is doing certain things, and I think to a degree, and I can't put it all on me. Yes. I have, you know, my parents, I have a great parent system, you know, across the board, absolutely, even her mother, we're all involved in my daughter's life. Yes. So there's some things I think my daughter already realized, I better not do this in front of them. But it's the kids who are around her.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
that's a problem.
Yes.
And I don't want to say it like it's a problem because they're problems as kids. Mm-hmm. It's a problem just because as kids in your household, you teach something different.
Yes.
And I can't control that.
Yes.
I don't, I'd be lost.
Yes. Yes. And to allude to it, man, it's just so interesting, because from where we have come from, at one point in time, we still have great grandparents and we still have great supporters in our families, but everyone is just so distracted and so engrafted in so many things that when we were coming up, it was like, and certainly before our time, it was a village that was raising their children. And so if one person failed, the other one picked it up.
Yeah.
And so it was no gap there. And if we did have bad experiences, you know, we couldn't control everything.
Yeah.
But it was usually someone that picked up the baton and continued and helped us grow, whether it was our aunties or uncles or grandparents, somebody. But now it's a different scope, because a lot of the parents, particularly in our millennial age, a lot of us are distracted by things, by advancement and even our own issues and our own psychological debilitations that our children are suffering, and there's no one to pick up the baton and help them. And now they're stuck. And now that's why we're saying a different turnout with these children, because no one is picking up the baton and continuing helping raise these children, even though we may be engrafted in our own personal issues and advancement of technology, trying to advance ourselves in our careers.
And I think that's a big thing.
And that's a huge
thing. A lot of us that are past the age of 25.
Yes.
We're caught up in our own way.
Yes.
And even though I want to say, we're caught up in our own way, there's still, I know people today who don't have an Instagram and Facebook because they're just like, I don't got it, but they got kids.
Yeah.
And so you're ignorant as to what your kids can be exposed to.
Sure.
My pops always says, and he's clearly older, call him pops, you know, and he's like, my age should be the most proficient at this.
Yes.
Because this, my age is the time group where technology really started.
Certainly.
You guys think it started with y'all.
Yes.
But it really started with us.
Certainly. Yes, it did.
And when I think about it, it's like, yeah, why wouldn't that? And it's just because it wasn't prevalent.
Sure. Sure.
It was a we're just getting started type thing. We're just, you know, we're figuring it out. But
it wasn't affordable.
Man, very true. And nowadays, you can get, I mean, you don't have to have the latest iPhone.
You can
get it anywhere.
Yes.
And it's free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking about us being free, how much psychological issues does porn cause, especially for our men?
Yes. Yes. Well, the thing with that is, everything alludes to what has impermeated us and what we have really repressed throughout time. You know, if we really be honest with ourselves,
there, and that's the problem.
That's it. That's transparency and honesty. within the parameters of church, within our families, within our friends. We have to really just be transparent and honest. And if we can do that, then we can, I believe we can just gain the next generation. I mean, just tell it like it is. There are certain.
I think that's across the board, though.
Yes, absolutely.
Not porn.
Yes.
Not just porn. I mean,
yes.
Racism.
Yes.
Everything that we're seeing today that is, quote unquote, a problem.
Yes.
Be real about it.
Yes.
Across absolutely. The board.
Yes.
On both sides.
Yes.
Be real about it.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Without a doubt. And so I was talking to a friend of someone, and of course I would never express who this person was, but I was talking and just allowing him to really express himself. And this particular person had a pornography issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was asking him, like, you know, let's dig deep into it.
Yeah.
How do you feel when you watch it? And he said, I feel like I'm in control.
Mm.
And so... I said, okay, so, and he's happily married. And he said, wow. I feel like I'm in control. I feel like I get exactly what I want when I want it. And so a lot of the issues, we look at face value.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, if you don't mind me taking this digression, I believe that when it relates to the church and spiritual things, that we concerned ourselves for so long with the action that we forgot to dig deep into what has happened to us. And that is where the psychological comes in. And that's where allows our spirituality to be merged with psychology, because we have to go back into time and wonder, where did this person feel that they never had control? Why? What happened to them that they feel that they never could grasp the control or something, or that control was always taken from them? And so what ends up happening when we look at the you go to pornography or you go to drugs or alcohol, whatever it is, what has happened? And so there is a void there. Mm-hmm. And what that void is, it is like particularly, okay, you said porn. Remember, I alluded to earlier into the fantasy world, into the world of fantasy. And a lot of times our fantasy world is corrupted or interrupted as children.
Yeah.
By issues, by traumatic experiences.
That you had no control.
That you had no control over. And you never expressed, you never told anyone, or you never felt that you were in the right arena or in the right atmosphere that you can express it and not feel that you were disrespectful to those people that you were expressing it to. And I can allude to, and I take this quick digression. And my father is a pastor,
mm-hmm.
and has been in ministry,
mm-hmm.
all my life.
Mm-hmm.
Church is all I know. I mean, I know other things too, but
yeah.
Well, that was my choice to go in that way. But mm-hmm. From that aspect, church was all I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that I could never go to my father and tell my father, Dad, I'm dealing with a pornography issue.
Wow.
Because.
Same here.
Yes. And it wasn't that they made me feel that way.
No.
It wasn't on their part. And I want to be totally expressive.
Are you a PK?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Without a doubt.
Guess we got that in common.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's a totally different podcast.
Okay. Okay. Sir.
Yes, sir. So, it was that we said, well, they hold this. If they knew I was dealing with this,
mm-hmm.
oh, man, this is the worst of sins.
Wow.
I can't tell them I'm dealing with this. Then I won't be able to play the drums or play the organ, man. On Sunday morning.
Although that was a time where they were sitting you down.
Oh my goodness!
I don't know if they're doing that.
Yeah, I don't know if they're doing that. But certainly, if you could, you were afraid of not being able to work in a church because of something that you were dealing with.
Yeah, something you absolutely.
And so, it goes back to what we just suppress and repress for so because we don't want to bother nobody else with it, and then we don't want to put ourselves in an uncomfortable position because of what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
And so we have to learn to be unselfish. We have to learn to open up our minds, open up our parameters, and understand that it is just not what we see at face value, but it is deeper. It is deeper than that.
I think that's a problem.
Sure.
If you know, like I know, a lot of kids in the church have a rep.
Sure.
For being the quote unquote, they be the nastiest
the
one.
The nastiest one.
You want to get something done? You go to the church. That's where you go. No, you don't need to go to the club. I got somebody for you. They up there praising worship. They sitting on the drums and they playing the piano, giving God all the glory. You know what I'm saying? And that is or should be the total opposite.
Sure.
But I think it's because they're in the church, everything is covered.
Sure.
Because it's like, I'm in the church. I'm not supposed to be having these problems.
Sure.
I'm not supposed to be dealing with issues of homosexuality. Yes. I'm not supposed to be dealing with issues of pornography. I'm not supposed to be dealing with psychological issues of somebody playing with my head, and I take these meds because I go to church.
Yes.
Why has the church become a crutch?
Yes.
For people who are in the church. It's I'm going to go to church because it'll get me by.
Yes.
I'm only going to go for it to get me by, not to clear me.
Yes.
Not to deal with the real issue.
Yes.
Maybe I do need to sit down. Maybe. And I'm speaking as a person. I played drums all my life.
Yes.
And so I saw worship.
Yes.
I didn't understand it.
Sure.
I participated in it. I didn't understand it. And what that really meant.
Yes.
I don't necessarily want to. Because I want this to talk about people who are even outside of church.
Yes.
I want people to hear what's really going on.
Yes.
When they use something as a coping mechanism.
Yes.
Or a crutch.
Yes.
Just to get by. Yes. Why that's so much of a problem.
Well, you know, church, drugs,
and alcohol. And we'll get back to it. You talked about what you dealt with as a kid.
Yes.
And you didn't know how to bring it to your dad.
Yes.
Who was your dad? He was your dad before he was a pastor.
You better believe it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And as a PK, I can relate to you. It's hard. You deal with so much.
Yes.
You have answers right in front of you.
Sure.
You don't know how to present the question.
Sure.
Because of fear of how it may make you look. But before we go there, why are people who go to church and they have all these problems that the outside world don't know?
Yes.
Why do they feel safe in a place where they should be getting medicine?
Sure.
But they can't access it.
Yes. Well, you know, church, you know, works as, and we want to speak across, all lines here, but particularly the church works sometimes as an opiate. It works as a drug itself. Because we can come to church and we can...
Who got the offering plate?
I come to church and I feel good.
Yeah.
I feel lifted. And it is so... The spirit is high.
Yeah.
And, for those... spiritual individual, the energy is wonderful.
Yeah.
And we leave just like we just hit a blunt.
Mm.
And when we come down and when we leave out of those doors, we're faced with ourselves. We're faced with our issues. We're faced with our thorns in the side.
Mm.
Because I just came to get lifted. To escape where I was,
right.
To escape out of the darkness of where I was before I got here. And so that is what we have put our stamp of approval on. And so when we go to church, we look for it is an escape. Instead of, and listen, without any uncertain terms, certainly when we go to church, we're to feel wonderful. We're to feel good. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be, when the word of God comes forth, there has to be some sort of education, some sort of conviction that says, okay, now that I have felt good from the praise and the worship that has happened, now I can get some good instructions on how to deal constructively with what I'm going through. And so now the art of preaching has changed, and I'm a preacher myself. So now the art of preaching has changed to where I have to preach more psychological than I do philosophically. And so now I have to touch the minds of those individuals. So it's not about how many people comes into my church. It's about how healthy they are when they leave. And so now I have gone into the minds of those individuals that have come into the church. And along with the praise and the worship that allows me to feel good, now I've given them something constructive that they can use when they leave and the high comes down. They can remember that now I have to go on the inside and I have to deal with what I'm going through.
The church should give you control.
Yes.
Of your life.
Sure.
It shouldn't give you a sense of, I get to escape.
Yes.
What I don't like.
Sure.
That I continue to indulge in.
Yes, sir.
I think that's a perspective that a lot of people are missing.
Mm-hmm.
Is we're not the judge, you know, jurying, you know, all of that stuff, executioner.
Yes.
We're the people who are here. God put us here in your life to help you. To help you grab a hold.
Yes.
To help you control. That's so great, because it's. We look for all these things outside of the church. I'm speaking about people who are in the church. We look for these things outside of the church. Pornography.
Yes.
Alcohol. Smoking weed. To help us get a control. Or to escape.
Sure.
The problem.
Yes.
Church should help you deal and control your problem.
Yes.
Along with the consciousness of prayer and faith and all those things. But I think we're missing it.
Yes.
We're now going to church for a Sunday to escape what we're really going through, as a place of, they're going to preach something, I'm going to agree with it, and that's going to get me through the next 24 hours.
Yes.
Monday through Saturday, I have to now face reality.
Absolutely.
And Sunday is the only day I'm going to practice what I listen to.
Yes.
It's a sad reality.
Yes, sir.
And mentally, I think it's continuing to be a problem.
Yes.
Mind your business.
Yes, sir.
How did it start?
Well, you know, like I said, you know, God had really been dealing with me with my own personal issues. Psychologically.
You suck too? I suck. I suck.
Listen, man. Listen.
I suck.
Man, I've been dealing with some things. Well, it's particularly at the time that I started NYB, but man, the last 2.5 years, let's say 2.5 years of my life has been quite an experience.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I
want to talk about that.
Okay.
You got a post.
Yes.
That should have went viral.
Help me get it viral, Doc.
It should, bro.
Help me get it viral.
It should have went viral.
Sure.
You spoke to me. You spoke to a lot of people who gave you the image of something people want to see.
Yes.
They didn't know what was going on.
Yes.
I didn't see the post initially. I saw when my pops reposted it. Okay. And I was like, my goodness.
Yeah.
So many smiles in the face of cries.
Sure.
Talk about that.
I, you know, my wife and I.
Beautiful wife.
Oh, thank you.
Beautiful
wife.
You got your model over there. Okay. You got a little trophy over there.
I appreciate that.
Shouts out to the wife.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Shouts out to my wife, Morgan Johnson. Wonderful. But my wife and I, you know, within the parameters of the church and all that, you know, just everyone is just, you know, the Johnsons, you know, just wonderful, beautiful couple. And, you know, everyone just remembered our wedding and all that and how beautiful it was. And, boy, when I tell you, when the sheets come off, I think there was a book like that or mm-hmm. something like that. I don't know why, who was, but I don't know if it was Juanita Bynum or somebody. Mm-hmm. But when the sheets come off, man, it was crazy. And yeah. it just to be brief in a synopsis of everything that has gone on, and this is really to just spark everything that happened with MYB and his startup.
Dope.
I had a lot of internal issues that I did not deal with.
Yeah.
And if I could say anything to anyone out there that is dealing with any brother out there that's dealing with any issues psychologically that leads to pornography or that leads to any sexual addictions, we have to deal with that. And marriage will not save it. Marriage will not take it away.
Man, finish, because I want to stay right there, but yes. Finish, please finish.
Marriage will not take it away. And I had this illusion that if I get married,
yeah,
then I have a wife.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about sinning.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about all these females. Yeah. I got someone to take care of exactly what I'm dealing
with. Yeah.
You know, and so it's totally wrong. And I didn't, because all I heard was growing up is it's better to marry than to burn. And so I said, let me go ahead and get this done so I could just move on and do everything that I had aspired to do. Wrong. And I would say that was the best mistake I've ever made in my life.
Mm. Wow. What?
That was the best mistake I've ever made in my life.
Man.
And so got into marriage. 2-3 months into my marriage, my wife was like, I'm ready to check out. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute here. And so I just wasn't as engrafted as I was before we got married. Now, my wife and I, we grew up together. Mm-hmm. We have been best friends throughout time. Wow. Grew up together, went to the same church, sang in choirs, went to elementary school together. Her family know my family, her mom, my mom, we're good friends and all that. Just multiplicity of things that we just knew each other. And so I figured, okay, well, if I'm going to marry anybody, it should be her. And she was like, I'm ready to check out. And so we went on. She got pregnant. I had my daughter. And that was when things changed for me.
And after the daughter.
After I had my daughter. And I just was so distracted. I mean, I was just so engrafted into everything but my marriage. I was engrafted with how the church looked at me. And everything that I had to do for others and how my image was, and still dealing with my own personal issues and not facing it, hiding and not really being honest with myself, let alone with my wife, let alone with those individuals that came into my company and those individuals that was in ministry with me and all that. And so I went into this place where I was just, I mean, if infidelity was a word, I think I could write the dictionary. I could put it in the dictionary for you. And this is just a moment of transparency. And I don't mess up your podcast with this.
No. Look. Everybody know who listen to this. We're talking about everything on here. Okay. This might be the cleanest podcast we've had. Because ain't been one cuss word that been put on here.
Listen.
So go ahead.
Yeah. You know, I won't spare you. I won't cheat you. I won't cheat you.
Awesome. Thank you.
I mean, if infidelity was a word, I could probably put my own spin on it in the human dictionary. And it was a place that it was like I was in an out-of-body experience with just that. I mean, and it was like I had just mastered it, so to speak. And so if I can allude to something, it was probably easy for me to do. And I could keep a girlfriend and be faithful to a girlfriend before I got married. But it is when I got married is when I just had no boundaries. And so I... You drink your tea on that one. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. And so if I could go back to my childhood, I hid a lot in my childhood. So hiding wasn't something that was new to me. It was when I was put in a position where I had to hide is when I knew that I could do it at any time. And so I had to go back into those things that I dealt with as a child. And this is now. This is not when I was dealing with. I'm just, you know, going back to now. I didn't have a problem hiding what I was doing as a kid. I didn't have a problem when I was growing up as a teenager hiding.
That's actual police outside. That's not a radio.
And so I go through this whole process. 3 years. 3 years of infidelity on my wife. 3 years. I mean, it was, I couldn't even tell you everything. It's just, we probably wouldn't have enough time. And so.
We got time. It just might not be recorded.
It's just my.
Bruh.
And so we, a long story short, because I'm going to get as much of it in the podcast as possible. I got to the point, 2018. I said, I can't do this no more. I was tired. I was done. Now, my wife didn't know anything. Didn't know anything. Now, she had been feeling neglected. Women, can I tell something to the brothers? Do not underestimate a woman's intuition. A woman's intuition leads her. And what she don't know, she knows. And what she knows that she don't know drives her crazy. So remember that she
somebody has $1,000. What's your cash app?
All smaller case. My kids, A. Johnson.
Send that man, please.
Listen, what a woman does not know, she knows, and what she knows that she doesn't know will drive her crazy. And my wife, I had drove her crazy for those whole 3 years, but she stayed with me. And we went to counseling. We went to my dad for counseling. And my dad even said, listen, somebody done stepped outside the marriage here. Something is wrong. And I'm sitting there like, it ain't me. And my wife is thinking, is it me? And knowing it ain't what that I done did. And so I'm sitting there just allowing her. Listen, and that's why it's imperative that we deal with what we deal with, because we bring people into our circle and they become and they get in our whirlwind. And they become bystanders of what we're going through. And so we have to be so careful of who we bring into our circle, or they will become byproduct. They become bystanders of everything that we're going through. And now they're collateral damage. And my wife was extreme collateral damage. And so got to the place in 2018. I was tired. I was fed up. God was dealing with me about being honest and transparent. Marquez, you have to be open and honest. God knows already. You have to be honest with yourself. And so God, I prepared this message in April of 2018. I had this this service that I had hosted, and it was I forget the name of the service. Either way, I wrote this sermon. It's called The Power of Confession. And God was dealing with me then. And I wanted to open up, and I wanted to tell my wife everything that had happened. And I wanted to tell everybody that I had faked to everything that had happened. And I preached The Power of Confession, and that was the best sermon I ever preached. And I had been preaching for a long time, developing my art of in that gift. Mm-hmm. But I had been and that was the best sermon I feel like even to this day I've ever preached. I wasn't telling everybody what had happened, but I was just so expressive because I wanted to just let it out. People were delivered. People were healed. I mean, it was just wonderful. And I left that service and I thought, I'm like, all right, I'm on the right track. And then a couple months later, everything blows up in my marriage. And my wife, she was done. And my wife has her own testimony that I always save room for my wife to tell her testimony.
Oh, she got to come on.
Oh, she we yeah.
Oh, she got you done put her on now. Listen, oh, she got to talk about it.
My wife has a tremendous testimony within the parameters of, I mean, with her life and within parameters of my, our marriage. And it got really, really just messy. It was just a traumatic experience for the both of us. And I was still holding on to all those secrets. And I'm thinking, well, God knows. And I've stopped. I'm like, I'm not cheating no more. I'm not doing it no more. And I was strong. It's funny that we get this strength and we build up this strength to never do it again after we done it. Mm. And I was strong and I was marriage falling into shambles. And I'm thinking, I'm like, well, what she don't know won't hurt her. And it came to the time, it came to the point where things got so sensitive in October 2018. I set my wife down. Never forget, I was coming home from an evening service and I was driving home and I was crying. I was listening to a sermon by Noel Jones called He'll Double Your Anointing. It was called... He'll increase your anointing. And I was listening to that sermon crying on the way home to tell my wife. I mean, and everything was just hitting me. And I got home and I sat my wife down. We were trying to work things out. And we were in a decent spot. And I sat her down and I said, this is what has happened from 2015. Earlier part of that 2018 year. Everything. And it shattered her. It shattered her. And it is, I still get emotional even to this day because I think everything that I was dealing with now is now on her. And so I felt that, okay, well, that burden and that guilt has lifted off of me now. And I feel liberated and I can go on. But now it rests on her. And so 2018 left out, 2019 came in. I mean, we had separated. We were just, ready to go ahead and make the decision, go ahead and get the divorce. But we had so many assets. I mean, we had so many things, three children at the time, car, house, money, all that stuff on the line. And so we just really wondering, I mean, this is really what we want to do. I mean, it'd be cheaper to keep both of us, but we just didn't know. But our emotions were like, it's time to just stop. And so throughout 2019, fast forward in the middle of the year in June, May or June, somewhere around that time, we set each other down and say, look, what are we doing? Are we going to try this again or are we going to just let it fall? And we declared that with the proper patience to allow each other to heal, we can do it again. And the healing is still going on now. The healing is still going on now. I mean, I went to therapy myself to get I'm into mental health field. And I went to therapy myself. And you alluded to it earlier. Therapy is very, very important.
It's so important. I have a best friend.
Yes.
Matter of fact, y'all got the same time in. Me and him went to Tri-C together.
Okay.
We've been best friends ever since.
Wonderful.
What, so that's 11 years?
Yes.
Been my guy.
Yeah.
He's married.
Okay.
And he's got some things he's going through. And I was blessed and fortunate to grow up with a father.
Yes.
He didn't have that luxury.
Yes.
And so he has been, as a man, figuring it out himself.
Yes.
When you tell a man, hey, man. Get it out.
Yes.
Go talk to somebody who can help you.
Sure.
One of his biggest questions is, you don't feel weird about just spewing your business out there like that? And I was like, one of the things I tell him is, It should be easier. Yes. This person doesn't know you. Yes. They don't have any judgment about who you were. All they want to do is get you to who you be, who you can become.
Yes.
So the concept of what you're looking to your parents to do.
Yes.
Is to forget about who you were.
Yes.
See who you can become. That's who your therapist can become.
Yes. Certainly.
It's hard for me to open up to my parents.
Yes.
And rightfully so.
Sure.
To a degree, because all they've seen me do is you say you're going to do this and then you do this. You say you're going to do that and then you do this. Yes. So they can't help but have a mindset that is, you know, well, Drew, you know, he said he was going to do that, you know, and he didn't. He sucks. You know, I'm sick and tired of him sitting in front of me telling me what he going to do.
Sure, sure.
And the problem with that is you constantly put all your faith in how much they can believe you can become.
Yes.
Instead of you looking at it for yourself.
Yes.
The only way you get there is to see where you're at. You make the decision. And if you need help, get it from somebody who don't know you.
Absolutely.
But can provide you with the steps.
Without a doubt.
You smacked me hard with some of the stuff you just said, bro. I think that's awesome.
Sure.
I didn't know the extent. I just knew the smiles in the midst of cries.
Sure.
Drake's got a song called Smiles.
Yes, sir. Yes, yes, he does. Yes, sir.
He still sucks. But we're missing that. Black men in yes. general, white men who constantly look in the face of others and smile.
Yes.
But look in the mirror and don't know what to do.
Sure.
Because you're dealing with something that society tells you you're not supposed to deal with.
Sure.
You make these decisions to get married, to take a business deal, to yes. make a huge decision in a place of or void.
Sure.
Not emptiness, void.
Void, yeah.
Something's missing.
Yes.
And you're trying to find it by making a decision that you think will help you.
Yes.
And you put so many people in jeopardy
yes.
of being hurt sure. by you.
Yes. You got to deal with it.
We got to deal with it.
Yeah.
We have to deal with it. And it becomes, it has to now become the conversation of stop thinking about what the people did to you.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
What are you doing?
Yes.
And where is it coming from?
Sure, sure. And that is, you know, our main focus, you know, on what it should be, you know, moving forward. You know, we have to combat those things. I believe even in all decisions, I told someone the other day, they had a big decision to make. It had a lot to do with their finances, making a career decision, making a hobby decision rather. And they were really torn between what they should do, and they made the decision, and then things worked out for them. I said, there's power in decision making. There's faith in decision making, because although we made some bad decisions, but one thing that I believe is that all things work together for us. And even in all the bad decisions and all the time that we feel that we've wasted, all things always come around because we serve the ultimate one. We serve God, who is, he just brings all things full circle. And so even in our bad decision makings and all those things that has just we lived in regret for so long. But the hope is that God makes all things well, and it all things always, it's like he throws everything into the pot and he crushes it down, mixes it all together. And that's what drove MYB to get started. I was in that place last year, at the end of last year,
and then 2020 came and sucked.
Oh man, it was oh my goodness, man. I swear, if 2020 was a person, man, we'd be working.
You say the same thing I say. If 2020 was a whole human being, I wouldn't even wait. I'm punching you in the face right now. It's going down, bro. Off rip.
I'm stealing on you.
No questions asked.
Right. I had lost my job last year.
Wow.
4 years. I was helped this company build, and I was they got there a couple months after it had been built. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I excelled in the company. I got promoted multiple times in the company, and it was they had me traveling out of state to, you know, train for. I mean, it was just a wonderful, wonderful. And something happened. I just believe that they were just trying to really change the scene. But something happened that I wasn't even at work when it happened, but they found a way to put it on me. And I understood that it was time for me to go. And just to tell you how God worked, my wife was uncomfortable with me working there because a lot of what I had did started from my job. And so I was still working at the job while I'm trying to heal my marriage, still working in the same atmosphere. And so God was like, shoo. And so then opened up the opportunity for me to work for the state of Ohio in the Department of Mental Health. And so that was wonderful. So throughout that time that I had space from going from one company to the next, I had time to meditate, time to pray what God wanted me to do next. And one day, I was talking to one of my friends, and I was like, mind your business. And it stuck with me. And I, you know, just started putting some things together, piecing things together. And initially, I just wanted to do a conference. I just wanted to do a conference. It's MYB, mind your business. And so I gathered a team together, presented it to a bunch of people. They said, oh, yeah, we with you. And then my wife, and that's why I'm thankful for her. She sat me down. She said, well, sweetheart, I think that you should take some time and really just plant yourself and become relevant. And I said, okay. She said, yeah, because mental health, this is going to be something that is going to be like a shift. And I'm putting in my own words, like a paradigm shift. Mental health, church. So you need to take some time and really just establish yourself. So I'm like, okay. So I told my team, we'll take the whole year 2020 for relevancy and establishment. And 2020 came in and we was off to a great start. And then here come Rona. And she just came and reared her
up. Auntie Rona. Hey, man, if I can say, I'm telling you.
Facts. Yeah. And so, but we're still moving, man, as things are starting to unfold and things are starting to get back to not really normal, but, you know, a place that we can really be content. Things are unfolding for us. And so we're still moving.
If I could, I would drop this mic right now. You got a post that had me literally in tears. It's another podcast. I kind of disagreed with it, but it was funny. Uh-huh. Donald Trump. He said, I'm about that work, bro. If you want to go out, I got you.
Man, listen, you don't want to go out peacefully. You can catch these unpeaceful hands.
I got you. All right? Church and all, I got you. I'm telling you. And what had me crying was the people who commented on it. They was like, look, I ain't even from Shaw, but look, I'm with you.
I'm with you.
Okay? I thought it was great, man. Listen. I know you got somewhere to go. What are you doing?
Well, coming in November, we're going to what we established the whole year of 2022 was to do chapter events. Okay. And so chapter events were going to be established for each quarter of the year. So okay. We had one January, one April,
okay.
One July, and one October. Of course, COVID-19 really shifted all of that. So we weren't able to do our third chapter. I did our second chapter virtually, but we weren't able to do our third chapter because it was just so close. So November 14th, our third chapter, we're going to go to Canton, Ohio. We did our first two in Cleveland. We're going to Canton, Ohio. We're going to really just scan the field, see what they need, some of their needs, provide some seminars. We're going to do a worship event, start off with worship, provide some seminars, some insight on mental health. And how we are introducing that to the church and how the church can merge with mental health and just be a bigger thing than just going to church and dancing and shouting. And so we're doing that November 14th, our third chapter. And then we'll see what city we're on the move. We're not going to stay stationary where this is a global vision. And so we're on the move and we're using the resources that God has provided to us. And we'll see what 2021 has to bring us.
I'm excited for you, bro.
Yes, sir. I appreciate
any
that.
Way I can help.
Yes, sir.
Let me know.
I appreciate
anything I can do. Let me know. What's your Facebook? What's your IG? What's your links?
Yes. So you can follow me on Facebook, Marquez Johnson. That's my own personal Facebook. You can follow our organization at Mind Your Business.
That is funny. You know, it's a great thing, but to say mind your business. No, we're here to help you, but mind your business, bro.
And when anybody else try to get in your business, you can tell them, mind your business.
Absolutely.
You need to your business. Get it together. But you can follow us. Mind Your Business. You'll see the our logo on there, MYB. You can follow us also on Instagram at MYB. Let me get it right. You can follow my own personal Instagram at Marquez Johnson, Q-U-E-Z-Y-J. Q-U-E-Z-Y-J. You can follow me on Instagram. I do not have a Twitter. I need to get one. But I don't have a Twitter, so you can't follow me on Twitter. But you can follow our organization on MYB.impact. MYB.impact.
All right. MYB.impact.
That's right.
All right. And it's the first thing that comes up.
Yes, sir.
And I am following.
All right. Wonderful.
If you got anything from this, please let us know. Comment, subscribe, hit the like button. If there is a like button, follow, whatever you can do. If you have questions, let us know. Mental health is something serious. And it's something that I feel or I see has been hugely neglected. And we need to get a hold on it, be it in the church, be it in outside of the church, be it in your own personal family, individually, something you're dealing with by yourself. Please let us know. We'll do our best to point you in the right direction. Other than that, man, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This has been awesome.
It has been, man. It's an honor.
I don't like you right now because you did the same thing Bishop handed. I was stuck for a sec. I was like, I don't know what else to say, man. This is awesome. But the transparency is what people need to hear.
Sure.
The concept of people who are going through the exact same thing.
Sure.
And don't know how to get out.
Sure.
Don't know how to be open. Don't know how to ask for help. Are dealing with that exact same thing. This is what we need.
Yes.
So this is the Gray Area. Thank you so much for joining us. And we are out.